Mishlei Perek Yud Dalid. We might have done this before, but being that no one remembers, it's well worth doing again. Chachmot Nashim Banita Veita, the wisdom of women, that's what builds her home. The Ivelet, and the sinful, foolish woman, Be'adet El Sen, who destroys her home with her own two hands. Our sages say this alludes to the wife of Korach and the wife of On ben Pelet. On ben Pelet was going to join forces with Korach, and his wife told him, "Why are you joining the fight for? If Moshe's the leader, you're not in command, and if Korach's the leader, you're not in command. What do you care who's the leader? Why join the fight?" And he said, "I already joined cahoots with them." And she said, "Go lie down, and I'll take care of it." He went to sleep. She sat at the entrance of the tent, uncovered her hair, and all of Korach's men were embarrassed to come close to the tent. Every time they saw her with her hair uncovered, when he awoke, they were all gone, burnt, and swallowed into the ground, and she saved his life. She established her home because Korach and his men, Korach's house was destroyed, the whole family was destroyed. So this was a smart woman. Korach was a Levi. The Levim, when they started their service, had a commandment to shave all of their hair. So Korach walks into the house totally bald. He's missing his beard. He's missing his hair. He's bald like a watermelon. No hair. And his wife asks him, "Who did that to you?" And he says, "Moshe." So she says, "Moshe hates you. He only told you to do that to make you look bad. He wanted to make fun of you." So when Korach heard this, she got him all riled up. And then he started his whole machlokas. So the wisdom of the woman, that could give the foundation to the home. And if the woman is going to be foolish and sinful, then she'll end up destroying the house with her own two hands, as Korach's wife did. Well, she didn't only tell him, "You look bad with all your hair shaved off." She also told him, "Moshe did that just to make fun of you." She got him spurred against Moshe. We're holding Perek Yud Dalet, the 14th chapter, Pasuk Beis, second Pasuk. Holech biyoshro yirei Hashem, a person who is God-fearing, he goes in his just path. If you see a person who does justice, who's always going straight, so chances are he's a God-fearing person. Uniloz derachav, and the person whose ways are crooked, bozeyu, scorns him. Who does he scorn? One understanding is that he scorns God. And one understanding is that he scorns the people who are going in the just path. He says, "Oh, you guys, I'll meet you at the finish line." And he thinks that he's going to get one over them. It's very common that people who are going the wrong way, they're mocking the people who go in the right way. And this is also true, this connects to the previous pasuk also. When a person sees someone, one could mock him or one could help him move forward. Persons whose paths are just, and this could apply to a wife, she could help her husband. If Korach's wife saw him all bald, she could make fun of him or she could help him out. She could tell him, "Oh, don't look badly at that. You just joined the greatest service there is. You joined the great forces of the Levim who serve God." She doesn't do that. She says, "Oh, Moshe is making fun of you." There was another wife in Tanakh whose husband didn't know much. He was in Amaretz. And she told him, "Go make wicks for the Beis HaMikdash in Shiloh. And if you'll be with good people, you'll end up being a good person. Maybe you'll get Olam Haba." And he started making these great wicks for the Beis HaMikdash, that there'll be good light in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why his name was Lapidot. And his wife's name was Dvorah, who caused him to be among good people, his wife. A person has within his power to scorn or to help move forward, to strengthen. A wise wife is going to help build the home. A sinful, foolish wife is going to destroy it. One who goes in the straight path, he's going to be a God-fearing person. One who's going to try to find shortcuts and cut around people, he mocks everyone who goes in a straight path, and he mocks God. Pasuk Gimel, b'fi yevil choter gava. In the mouth of a fool, there is the staff of pride. People sometimes feel like they could enforce their honor with pride, and that's a mistake. Our sages taught us that one who runs after pride, the pride is running away from him. And one who runs away from pride, the pride chases after him. So a fool tries to enforce his pride. A fool tries to enforce his honor. And usually it's counterproductive. V'siftei chachamim tishmurim. And the lips of chachamim, they use their mouth to protect themselves for good things. A fool uses his mouth to be proud. I did this. I did this. I. He tries to get people to respect him for who he is by saying who he is. It's interesting. You read Donald Trump says you have to toot your own horn. If you don't tell people how great you are, no one's going to know how great you are. Okay? That's what he says. Yeah. Interesting. Guy who couldn't hold together a marriage. Yeah. There's a lot of things. You look at him, you wonder, is he really that great? It's worth reading his book. I don't think so. If one doesn't have oxen, then the trough is also going to be empty. Sometimes a person thinks, if I have oxen, I'll have to feed them. So the pasuk says the other way around. You feed the oxen, they'll make you money. People are sometimes scared of investing money, and the pasuk is telling us that sometimes you have to invest money in order to make money. A person can't be so scared. A person sometimes has to buy a car in order to get a job. Sometimes a person has to buy a suit in order to go to an interview and get a job. Sometimes you have to invest money to make money. If you don't invest the basic money, you won't make the money that goes beyond that. If a person doesn't have the oxen, so then evus bar. Even the trough is going to be empty. The place where he feeds the animals, the hay, there won't be anything there. And one can have a lot of grain with the strength of an ox. The ox gives him strength. The Gemara learned that this pasuk is referring to learning Torah. One will have great flourishing, great stock in the Torah if he has the strength of an ox. What does it mean, the strength of an ox? So one understanding means that he delves in covering ground and retaining what he's learned, reviewing. Sometimes people want to get more depth. They want to understand everything to ad infinitum. They want to understand everything till the end, and then they don't cover ground. And our tradition is that a person who covers ground with good understanding is going to have more strength. And the Gemara brought this as a pasuk that backs it up. The Tana de Be'elio, Elio Anavi quotes that one time a student came to him and he said, Rebbe, I learned Torah and I want to learn Torah. And I'm waiting for Torah to come to me. When will I merit to understand and get Torah? Torah is not coming to me. And he told him, if my son, Elio, told him, if you didn't merit the Torah, you should know the only way a person can merit for attaining Torah is if he gives himself over for Torah. A person has to give his all. He has to put everything into it. Just like an ox, when he comes to plow the field, he puts his all into it. Put on the harness and he starts pulling. He puts his whole body into it. He puts all of his strength into it. And that's what the pasuk says. V'rov tevuot b'choach sho. You'll have great crops if you put in the strength of an ox. A person can merit to have great amount of Torah if he puts in all of his strength like an ox. Rav Bigun always tells the story about a big guy who came here. He came from a kibbutz. He was in a kibbutz packing bananas. And he didn't know how to learn. And he told them, I want to learn Torah. And they told him, forget it. What do you need to learn Torah? It was a kibbutz that wasn't interested in Torah. And he said, no, I want to learn, I want to learn, I want to learn. And he left the kibbutz. He came to Machon Meir. He didn't know anything. So he came here and he started learning. He was a big guy. And Rav Bigun used to say, Rav Bigun says, that you'd see him standing in the hallway with his small mishnayos, learning it. And his whole body was going into it. He was sweating. He was so enthralled in his learning. And he said, Rav Bigun says that today is a Rav of a Yishuv. He learned, and today is a rabbi. A person can do it, but he's got to put everything into it. He's got to sweat. People think they'll sit back, they'll eat cake and drink coffee, and they'll learn. Doesn't work that way. If you want to learn, you got to put everything into it.
And drink tea because coffee is very bad.
Thank you.
It was symbolism. I didn't mean literally.
so was I. I drink coffee all the time.
Ah, don't drink coffee.
Edemunim lo yechazev. A witness who's trustworthy, you know that he's always careful to say the truth, so even when things are tight, he's going to be careful to tell the truth, he won't lie. V'yafiach kezavim et shaker, and a witness who very often tells lies, he bends the truth, so you should know that whatever is coming out of his mouth is lies. You could assume that when he's talking, he's lying. There are people who get accustomed to lying, and it's a bad habit to get into. And once a person gets into that habit, so sometimes he even asks himself, why did I have to lie there? And once a person is in the habit, he's going to lie all the time. It's a habit that once people get into, they apply it even where they don't need to apply it. I don't know if it's a way of maintaining privacy. You don't know what's going on in my world. It's a way of feeling like a person has the upper hand. But at the end of the day, it's a habit. And people...
I think it also comes, probably my experience, that sometimes you try to cover another lie, and in order to keep one lie, you have to act a certain way, or else your other lie is going to...
I think there's also an aspect where a person who has lied is nervous, and even though he might not need to lie, more lies to cover up that lie...
Well, what is that?
He doesn't want to get caught, so he adds a lot of lies. I don't know. He doesn't want to get caught. Mm-hmm. The person who lies is constantly on edge. I very often say that I can't lie because I don't remember. So people sometimes tell me you said X. So I say, I don't remember what I said, but I doubt I said X because it wasn't true. I could say that because I know, as far as I know, I wouldn't lie. So if someone asks me, sometimes people say you said X, Y, Z. I'll say, I don't remember the conversation at all, but I don't think I said exactly that because that's not true. So I don't think I said that. Now we're stuck. Did I or didn't I? I don't think I said that. And I've laid the cards on the table. I've said, it's not true, so I don't think that's what I said. You said you were at a wedding this week. I don't remember being at a wedding. I don't think I said I was at a wedding. Maybe I said that I'm with a chassan. That could be. I wasn't at a wedding. Could be a few things.
Is that you dancing at the wedding?
And when it comes to habits of speech, very often people have a hard time overcoming them. A person who gets accustomed to one way has a hard time changing his way. So one of the ways a person can do it is by correcting himself. A person shouldn't expect that the day he decides he's going to say only the truth, from that day on, he'll speak only the truth. What a person could do is when he finds himself saying something wrong, he could stop and correct himself. And when a person corrects himself, then after a few times of correcting himself, he gets into the custom of thinking a second before he says it, and he won't even have to correct himself. People have to have the courage to say, wait one second, I don't know why I said it that way, that's not exactly what it was. And when a person corrects himself on the spot, it's not as embarrassing. And that way a person ultimately reaches the point where he doesn't say it at all. But almost always, I think, the first step is that a person should correct himself. And a person should try to notice, even on small things. A person says, I made $500 today. No, actually I made $380. People have a tendency to lie on small things which they think are irrelevant, but for them it's relevant. A person wants to feel like he did more. And a person should try and train himself on every point to be truthful to the T. Pasuk Vav. Bikesh letz chokhma. A person who's a joker, when he tries to seek out wisdom, va'ayin, and he can't find it. Because when a person isn't accustomed to thinking things through, to using his head, when a person has spent his life mocking things and joking at things, then he hasn't honed his tools so that when he needs to use his brain and he needs to think about things seriously, he can't do it. It's very common that when there are emergency situations among teenagers, so sometimes they try to figure out what to do. And then there are the jokers who will joke when it's an emergency situation and he can't joke. But they don't know of any other way to deal with what's going on. And it's very sad, because that's exactly what the pasuk is saying, that when the guy who's always joking, if that's become his way of life, that he's a letz, when he needs the wisdom, he won't be able to find it, because he hasn't used those tools in so long. Vedat lenavon nakal. And a person with understanding finds it easy to have knowledge. Our sages say that this pasuk is referring to Paro. That Paro wanted people to figure out his dream. He saw seven cows, and then he saw another seven cows eating it up. He called all his wise men in, and they started saying, you'll have seven daughters, those seven daughters will die. Whatever explanation they gave to his dreams wasn't true. And in comes Yosef, and in a jiffy he gives them the right answer. So the pasuk says, Bikesh Letz, the fool, Paro, wanted chokhmah, wisdom, v'ayin, he couldn't find it. Vedat, and the understanding, lenavon, to Yosef, who was a navon, nakal, comes easily. He walks in and he says, this is the dream and this is the explanation. Pasuk Zayin, Lech mineged, go at a distance from the ish kesil, from a fool. Keep a distance from him. Don't go near him. You don't want to come close to him. You don't want to be apart with him. Uval yadat asifte dat. And this vav is a very interesting vav. This vav is like o. This vav doesn't mean and, but rather or. Either keep a distance from the kesil, from the fool, or uval yadata, or else you'll find yourself in a situation where you yourself won't know sifte dat, the lips of knowledge. In the end, you'll become a fool like him. If you don't stay a distance from fools, then you'll be a fool like him. My father always says, save me from wicked people, save me from fools. Because my father always says that some of the most wicked people are people who don't mean that, but they're just fools. If a person isn't smart enough, then he'll be evil even though he didn't mean to be evil. It takes a certain amount of intellect to be a good person as well. Yeah?
Example?
What, keep a distance from a fool? Mm-hmm. Don't take him as a partner. Don't take him as a chavrusa. People tend to become like the people they're around. If a person is constantly with a person who's a fool, then he'll take on his habits. You'll find even in mannerisms, yes, and in forms of speech. Mm-hmm. Very often, you'll find yourself mimicking either someone you admire or someone you spend a lot of time with. If you spend a lot of time with a person who curses, then when you hit your hand with a nail, at some point, the first thing that's going to come to your mind is a curse word. And you ask yourself, I've never cursed. So yeah, the reason is because if you're with a person, then that affects who we are. We catch things without even noticing. Even the way we smile and our countenance, our features, the different ways in which we express ourselves with our looks, the way we treat people, the looks we give people, that also stems from who we're with. We acquire them without even noticing that we've acquired them. I find myself mimicking you guys all the time. Seriously, I'm not joking. Sometimes I can say something or smile in a certain way. I think to myself, that's Micha. Seriously. You don't have control over it. And that's why the pasuk warns us, keep a distance from fools. Because if you don't, you'll end up being like them. The closer you are to them, the more effect they'll have on you. Chochmat arum. Yeah?
But, I mean, it's normally that we have sometimes people around us. They're all like that what we have here. It's written here. You can choose your people that you work together, or you can choose people that you learn together, but you can't push all the people away from you.
But you don't have control. You don't have control, but very often you do have control. Mm-hmm. You could decide where you sit in shul. You could decide who you sit next to at a simcha. You could decide who you sit next to in a ride very often, or on a bus. There are many times where we do have control, and the pasuk is telling us, don't make light of it. You keep it distant. Very often people are enticed by different things. They'll take a partner even though he's not such a God-fearing person because he has a lot of money, or for other reasons. Even though he might not make the best decisions, but there are other reasons why you want him. So the other reasons might outweigh it. But you have to understand, the pasuk is telling us that we have to know that this will have a weight. don't think that you're his partner. He's the fool. You're the smart guy. You're okay. Chances are he'll rub off on you. Rabbi Feinstein once told me, he said, the teaching is like a tug of war. You know, there's like, hey, and you hold the rope and you pull back and forth. So he said to me, teaching is a tug of war. The teacher is holding one end of the rope and the class is holding the other end. The class is pulling the teacher down and the teacher has to pull them up. And you hope the teacher pulls them up more than they pull the teacher down. So even in a class, you have that aspect where the students are also trying to pull you down. It's always that way. I don't mean here, God forbid. I mean, you teach teenagers, you teach kids. Chances are that it's a tug of war. Chochmat Arum Havin Darko. A person who has cunning and he understands his ways to know which way to go. That's a smart person. That's a person who has cunning. The Ivelet Kisilim Mirma. And the foolishness of the fools is ultimately they're trying to be cunning. They try to deceive other people, and ultimately that's their downfall. That's their foolishness. The smart person, one of the foundations of his wisdom is his ability to overcome the scenarios he's put in. In life, we're constantly given challenges. And a smart person is going to make every challenge into an opportunity. And the fool, so he also tries to overcome the ways, the situations he's put into, but he tries to do it with deceit. And his deceit ultimately brings him down. That's his foolishness. A person is supposed to be cunning. A person is supposed to be smart. And a person is supposed to overcome life. Part of life is overcoming. But the way in which a person does it, is it by being deceitful or not? So that depends on whether he's a smart person or he's a foolish person. Evilim Yalitz Hashem, the fool tries to bring consolation. There are many people who are good at saying I'm sorry. They're always catching up in life. They're always apologizing, trying to make up. So the Pasuk is saying that when a person is sinful, so he's spending his life trying to catch up, always saying I'm sorry. Uven Yesharim Ratzon. But among straight people, there's goodwill. And this is a very important difference. There are people who will always say, I'm sorry. But you did nothing wrong. Yeah, but I'm sorry. You'll notice there are people who begin conversations with I'm sorry, who enter conversations with the assumption that either they've done something wrong or you're upset at them. A person is supposed to try to come with a positive attitude. There's goodwill. A person can enter the same scenario. He can't come to work today because his wife gave birth. So he could call up and say, thank God my wife gave birth. We deserve a mazel tov. And obviously the boss is going to understand that if his wife gave birth and he's in the hospital, he's not going to be able to show up to work that day. And he could say, let's think who we could find to take the job because I won't be able to come. That's all positive and upbeat. A person could call and say, I'm so sorry. I know you're expecting me. I know I'm supposed to be there. But you know, my wife gave birth and I can't really make it and maybe we'll find someone. You have the same conversation. But the tone of the conversation is totally different. Is it uphill or is it downhill? The second you apologize, you infer you've done something wrong. And some people walk around life feeling like they have to apologize for things, like they've done something wrong. The Evil always feels like he's done something wrong because he has always done something wrong. So he spends his life apologizing, catching up. There are people who are very good at buying cards 3 months late. I'm sorry I forgot your birthday. A person should try to be accustomed to remembering the birthday, not sending the I'm sorry I forgot card. And these are traits. There are people who are consistently one way. and our people are consistently the other way, and most of us have a lot of one and a lot of the other, we have to try to make sure that we try to be straight people who are constantly festering goodwill, fostering goodwill. The Medrash says, "Evilim yalitz Hashem." The pasuk is telling us that.
Where's the Medrash in there?
The Medrash is Medrash Rabbah in Vayikra. It's not here.
From where are you reading it?
This is a Mishlei which quotes Midrashim. It's not a. Doesn't show up in the regular Mishlei.
From different sources.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I just found it. I found the bargain today.
Today,
I just got it today. I saw it. Someone was looking to get rid of it. He had a double.
Oh, let me see the cover. Yeah. And it has the standard from.
No, just Rashi. Rashi and Mitzudos.
Oh, really?
And the Midrashim, yeah.
No Malvin?
No. Person should try, the Medrash says, to try and have a sacrifice as a korban toda, sacrifice, the same concept. You could bring a gift to your boss, or you could bring a gift like to apologize for something you've done. Try to keep things on the positive, not on the fixing the negative. Person can bring a gift, I really appreciate it. How many people bring gifts to their wives just because they love them? How many people bring flowers because they hurt her feelings? A person should try to keep things on the upbeat. Lev yodem arat nafsho. The heart knows its bitterness, and therefore uvesimchato, and ultimately in the heart's happiness, lo yitarav zar. No strangers come in, because no one suffers as bad as the person himself. As much as we try to feel bad for someone else, we never feel as bad as someone else. Be it our spouses, be it our children, be it our parents, we never feel for anyone but ourselves. And even for ourselves, the pasuk says in Eov and Job, O ba'ador. Person puts one piece of skin in front of another piece of skin. A person sees he's about to get hit, he puts his hand up. But his hand's going to get hit. Yeah, but oh, bad, oh. You put one piece of skin to protect another piece of skin. Oh, one skin. Be'at, as to counter, oh, another piece of skin. Ve'chol ha'shalesh, and everything a person has is willing to give, yitin bad nafsho, he gives for his soul. At the end of the day, people are self-centered, and no one feels someone else's pain like they feel their own. There's a famous story of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who came to the doctor. His wife's foot was hurting, and he said, "My wife's foot is hurting us." What?
My wife's foot is hurting us.
Because it pained him also. It's very nice. It's beautiful to be on that level. But even then, it didn't hurt him. He was on the level where he shared his wife's pain. But lev yodem arat nafsho. Only the heart knows its own bitterness. No one else knows what a person is going through. We could try to help a person, we could try to be understanding, but no one else knows what he's going through. And this pasuk applies halachically. We say that on Yom Kippur, we listen to a person who's ill. There are certain illnesses where we say that even if the doctors say one way, the person himself knows how badly he's feeling. There are times where the doctors will say, he's okay, he can fast. And the guy says, no, I'm feeling so bad I can't fast. And in certain instances, we listen to him because of this verse, Lev yodem arat nafsho. Only the heart knows its own bitterness. And this is true also practically. A person has to know when he's trying to appease someone else. People sometimes say things, and they mean well, but they have to recognize that they don't begin to comprehend the pain that someone else is going through. Uvesimchato lo yitarav zar. And this is also true when a person is happy. When a person finally overcomes something, no one else, no stranger can partake of that. We all have a certain share of happiness, but the person himself, he's the one that's going to have the happiness. Okay.